You would have heard the name Carlos Ghosn, right? One of the leading automotive businessmen, and he's currently an internationally wanted fugitive. So he's a fugitive. Japan has now rejected accusations by Mr. Ghosn, as he believes he is a victim of a conspiracy. So how did this great escape unfold? What is the latest? Well, Clifford Coonan, thank you very much for joining us on the show today. Clifford with Deutsche Welle. Good to have you on.
Good morning.
So, you know, this is a story about the rise and fall of one of the world's most, well, one of the world's top executives. Take us through the dramatic events of the past few days in particular.
Okay, certainly. Well, let's go back, first of all, to November 2018, when Japanese police arrested Ghosn as he arrived at Tokyo Airport in his private jet. As you'll see as this story unfolds, it has all the hallmarks of a Netflix drama, you know, and we had prosecutors accusing him, first of all, of underreporting his salary by around half over a 5-year period. He was accused of using company funds to stage an event at the Palace of Versailles near Paris, which just happened to coincide with his wedding and his wife's 50th birthday. And then in the meantime, he's been in and out of jail, and he's been out on bail. The last time he was out on bail, the conditions were that he didn't get in contact with his wife. He said this affected him very deeply. And then the latest event is he escaped, apparently concealed in a large trunk after an orchestra played in his house. On this escape, which happened on a bullet train, a private plane, all of this, of course, is speculation. We don't have any confirmation, but there's lots of juicy stories about this. He was accompanied by a former Green Beret, one of those American special forces. He leapfrogged across the globe. And now he's in the Lebanon, and the Japanese justice authorities want him back. And he says that he's obviously saying he's not going back, and there is no extradition agreement between Lebanon and Japan. So that's where he finds himself at the moment. This is, as you say, one of the big auto executives in the world. He turned around Renault, and now he's sitting in the Lebanon, and we're waiting to see what happens next. He's painting it as a form of political persecution, that he's some kind of like a political fugitive. So we're let's listen to him from a press conference he gave during the week saying about that.
I did not escape justice. I fled injustice and persecution, political persecution. Having endured more than 400 days of inhumane treatment in a system designed to break me and unwilling to provide me even minimal justice, I was left with no other choice but to protect myself and my family.
Wow. That's his side of the story. I'm still trying to figure out what they... I mean, it does sound like a couple of Netflix series put together, quite frankly. Yeah. Should be a series, not just a movie. But I find it difficult to believe that Japan would cook up all these sort of things and, to try and incarcerate him. I mean, he's not given any evidence of any sort. And then also, just looking at what you said about what he has purported to have done, I'd expect to go to jail if I did that too. But anyway.
Well, that's very true. There's a lot of that in it. I mean, even looking, there are reports that he has spoken to Netflix about this. So it may not be that fantastic when we say that it could be a Netflix show. Although we don't know whether it's just in development or what stage it's at. But yes, I mean, in September in the US, he's been charged with concealing payments from Nissan, and there was a deal there, and he's had to pay fines. And also, there's a power struggle at the top of Nissan, and his successor, Hiroto Saikawa, wanted Mr. Ghosn out, and he himself was forced to resign in September over improper compensation. So as you can see, it's really quite a murky area, quite a murky story in that way. But I think there seems to be signs that there was some wrongdoing anyway, and he is now trying to turn it around a bit to say that the Japanese justice system is actually at fault here, and this is kind of broadens the story a bit, because in some ways the Japanese justice system is also on trial. They've got a very, very high conviction rate, over 99%. And they also tend to use confessions a lot. And he says this means that he's not getting fair treatment in Japan. So so this is another area that that has emerged, is where this sort of clash of cultures in a way. And we can hear now when he talks about the Japanese system.
This was the most difficult decision of my life. But let us not forget that I was facing a system where the conviction rate is 99.4%. And I will bet you that this number is much higher for the foreigners.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's that is quite a high rate. So you can understand his concern, because if he goes back to Japan, it's very unlikely that he's not going to be convicted. And certainly by taking flight to Lebanon, the Japanese, of course, are furious about this. Interpol has issued a red notice, which for his arrest. And at the moment, I think in Lebanon, where he has Lebanese citizenship, among others, the Lebanese are in a difficult position now, because they say, well, OK, he can sit tight, but they don't want him to leave at the moment. And I think they're deciding what they're going to do now over this. In some ways, because Japanese business culture is also on trial here, and about the way that, you know, he was led out in court in handcuffs with a rope around his waist, and the visuals are not very good for the Japanese justice system. So I think a lot of people are asking about the whole it's been sort of broadened into the whole justice system and how this plays out.
Yeah. I mean, the latest, I think, was that the Lebanese prosecutors issued a travel ban, as you were, I think, alluding to earlier, stating that my memory serves me correctly, he had to hand in his French passport on Thursday, yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And it certainly seems like a clash of business cultures as well. If you look at the incumbent versus him, one that had to resign. There seems to be a clash of cultures in general, yes, but business culture as well.
Yeah, and he's also appealing on the human side. If you look at this, if you listen to this from his press conference, he talks about how he had no choice but to protect him and his family.
Unfortunately, there was no trust, and some of our Japanese friends thought, the only way to get rid of the influence of Renault on Nissan is to get rid of me. There was a stage arrest. I've been told, I didn't know, that the world was led to know that I was arrested in the airplane. Bullshit.
Yeah, so you can see that how he's talking about how he needs to protect his family, and also how getting rid of the influence of Renault on Nissan. So there's a business culture argument here, and talking about how it's a stage arrest. He's really trying to play it as if it's he's sort of talking about the arrest on the airplane as if this was all staged to make him look bad, and that in order to protect his family, he's constantly referencing his family and making it a personal thing rather than a business thing. And so that's now we have to see where this goes forward.
I wonder what the share price is doing on Nissan at the moment. Listening to all of this, I might have to buy some Nissan shares because it can only go uphill from here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure the markets, though, they counter a lot of this in, and they're thinking that maybe this is a necessary process. They probably don't want it to play out too long. I imagine that's what most market players are saying at the moment, because nobody wants their dirty laundry done in public. And this is one of the most public examples of dirty laundry being washed, I think, that we've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, Nissan shares were down, I think this is in late last year, around November, late November. Nissan shares were down 30% since his arrest. And it would be interesting to see what happened since. But wonderful chatting to you. Thank you very much for all the insights there, Clifford Kinnan. Clifford Kinnan, a correspondent with Deutsche Welle, DW, giving you the latest out there. See,